L'Invité de Clark with your host, Clark Ady. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
L'Invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.
Hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining us today. I have as my guest Bernard Léon. Bernard is a man who's making a big difference in the fight against a deadly malady, brain cancer. He's invested a lot of time and effort to build upon here in Brittany support and research for brain cancer, the deadly form of cancer, for which researchers are working hard to find cures. Well, thank you for coming, Bernard. You're a man of many talents, and that's certainly something that's been on your mind and you've engaged in so diligently for a long time now. Thanks for taking some time to join me today.
Nice to meet you, Clark.
And Bernard, this is kind of special too for me because you're helping us celebrate our 50th broadcast here on L'Invité de Clark.
Oh, I'm very happy about that.
Thank you for that. And so many interesting people. It's been a great experience for me personally. Let's just start at the beginning, if we might. You are, I believe, from Brittany originally.
Yes, I'm Brittany, yes, from the north of Finisterre. Actually, I was born not far from Brest in a little village called Ploudaniel. And then my parents were farmers and they moved to a nearby village. And when I was 10, okay, the farm was too small, and they had to leave the countryside, and they moved to the town of Landerneau, not far from the village, and my father became a lorry driver, and they built a house in Landerneau, and so that's where I grew up then until the age of 18, when I went for my studies in Brest, okay, and then I worked as an English teacher in Quimper, and I'm retired, and I spend most of my time, okay, for this charity. Yes.
Well, that's quite a story. Do you have come from a big family back on the farm when you grew up?
Oh yes, we were a large family of six children. Okay, eight altogether with my parents, and. The thing is that it's a very peculiar situation because I have three brothers that are triplets.
No, so, really?
Yes.
That's very rare.
They were born in 1957, okay? And I was only four. My elder sister was five. My younger sister was three. And then, okay... Three came, okay, turn out. So it was a very, very difficult situation since my parents were on a very small farm with little cattle and, of course, not many acres. And so it was quite a tricky situation. I am very grateful for my parents to have been able to bring us up in this situation.
It's hard to imagine, isn't it? I mean, for me now, and maybe for you even, to have triplets coming and, yes, and dealing with all the things that we have to deal with. I mean, that's just an amazing story. Are they located close to you now? Are they still in Brittany?
Well, two are located in Brittany and one is in Montpellier. So, yes.
Well, that's a great start to our interview. When you moved into Brest, that was the time you were going to university, is that right?
Yeah,
when your parents moved or
yeah.
into Landerneau, yeah.
Yeah.
And what did you study at school? I mean, your English is terrific, so I don't know if that's where it started or not.
It's not, but I first took different, let's say, more arts than sciences, yes, French, Latin, English, Spanish, history, philosophy, because it's a special French training called lettres supérieures. You know, lettres supérieures means
sure,
different subjects.
Okay, yeah.
But then I I took English, okay. Finally, I took English, yes. And
So you started English late then, not as a young boy.
oh, well, I started at the age of 11, as
Yeah,
everybody,
yeah.
as the first language, yes. My second language was Spanish, and I also like German, yes.
Yes, well, you're a polyglot, as we say. I think that's our English word for that. Doesn't sound very nice, but it's a good thing. All right. So, after university, what was your next course of action? Did you say you became an English teacher right away, or did you do something else?
Yes, I became an English teacher. Well, I went to the Navy because in France at that time we had the military service, you know,
Yeah.
national service. Okay, I taught English to future French Navy officers, and then I got a teaching job in Quimper, and I stayed there for 38 years, same school.
Wow, same school. They should name the school after you, I think, huh? Well, the LICS is a great school. My son has gone to the LICS in Quimper and had a good experience there.
Okay.
So that was, yeah. So you retired then from LICS.
Yes, I retired in 2015, so that's nearly now 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Time
Well,
flies. Time
doesn't it though? Yeah. And our Latin roots tell us that tempus fugit, right?
Yes.
Well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Here you are on the farm. You're surrounded by brothers and sisters. You
Yeah.
have a lot of work to do. Did you have any dreams about being a teacher, or did that just sort of come?
Not at first. I was impressed by an uncle who was an engineer, but there's no way I could become an engineer, you know.
No, it wasn't your path, that's for sure.
Yes. In fact, I was interested in well, in languages. I was interested in French history too, and philosophy was a good subject for me too. But and especially, well, I'm interested in social sciences, let's say social sciences.
Yeah.
Yes. And the news, of course. Yes.
Just as an aside, the name Leon, that's a little region, isn't it, in Finisterre, Leon.
Yes,
Is
and
that?
well, you find it in Spain too, mind,
Yes, of course.
in Mexico too, and it comes from the place where a Roman legion was settled. Leon comes from legio in Latin,
Oh,
legionis. Yes,
interesting.
apparently that's the origin of the name. Yes, and that's why you find it in Spain, you find it in different places. Yes.
It's fascinating. Yeah, I never thought of that, but that's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Finisterre has a wonderful history, and the Romans were certainly a part of it.
Yeah.
I'm interviewing Bernard Leon, head of the organization that fights brain cancer. We're going to get to that in a minute, but we're really getting a little background for Bernard because he's quite an interesting guy from a big family in the Finisterre. You know, speaking of teaching, I can't imagine how much different it must have been when you started 38 years ago to the time that you retired. Or did it change very much?
It changed very much because, okay, we had, let's say, different sorts of pupils, of students. And in fact, now students have so many different interests that they are not so focused on education as they used before. You know, when I started, schools were for many, many children the only place where they could get access to some knowledge. And now it's completely different, of course, with the event of social media, of different forms of different sources of information. And that makes it sometimes a little bit complex for teachers to catch the students' interest.
Yes, well, The availability of information, as you say, and entertainment is a great temptation for students because it's so accessible. You're quite right. It's quite a role for teachers, I think, that has changed. Well, let's talk a little bit more about your association because I really want to get into that. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved with this association, and maybe we can delve into it a little bit more because I think people are interested in the topic of brain cancer. You and I have a common friend in England who whose husband John Fulcher was a great friend of mine that passed away about 20 years ago from that. And Wendy's done a great job of raising money to help research at the Imperial College in London. And I imagine that's happening in other parts of the world. But tell me a little bit about the association, maybe nationally now, and then we'll get more specifically into your region.
Yes, in fact, well, we lost a daughter. Our daughter was called Annelise, and we lost her to a brain tumor in 2010. Okay, she was diagnosed only 5 months before she died, and she couldn't be operated on, so she had the standard treatment of chemotherapy, radiotherapy, but of course, she had a little bit relief, a little relief for some time, and but in the end, she had had the maximum radiation she could have, and so well, there was only chemotherapy to be done, but the second session of chemotherapy didn't work, and so well, we were very, very moved, of course.
Sure. It's incredible. Five months.
She was 23, training to be a nurse, and so she knew everything about her disease. Okay, there was nothing that we could conceal, of course, that doctors could conceal. So that makes it that made it
Yeah.
very, very difficult to live with. Yes.
And of course, it takes away your hope, doesn't it? I mean, really. Tell me, Bernard, what were the symptoms, or what kind of? I moved so quickly, 5 months. Did she have any symptoms that she related about
Well,
this?
of course, she was a student in Paris, so we didn't see her quite often, and well, we knew she was tired. She told us she was tired, but being a student training to be a nurse in Paris, of course, is quite difficult at times to with all the burden of the work in the hospitals, studies, the transports, and so we thought that her tiredness came from this, but in fact she was already with the disease, and she had told a good friend that she didn't want to drive anymore, but
Really?
we didn't know it, and of
Yeah.
course that was because of her vision problems. She couldn't see quite well, and she was a very, very dedicated girl, very active. She wanted to be in active wards, you know, in
Yes,
hospitals,
hospitals, yeah.
emergency wards, first aid, and of course she, in fact, she was so strong in the fact that being so strong also concealed her disease, you know, because she didn't say much about it. She didn't complain.
Yeah.
And so, of course, there was one time in the summer 2009 where she couldn't any longer go to work. But at that time, she had seizures, okay,
Oh.
vertigos, very, very painful headaches, you know,
Sure.
very hard, you know, headaches. And so she called, her companion called the emergency services, and she was admitted in a very, very large hospitals next to Paris in Créteil. And there they found the brain tumor. At the beginning, they don't call it a tumor because they wait for the biopsy to be done. They only talk about a mass. They have found a mass.
Yes. Yeah, a mass. Yeah.
Yes, and then 2 or 3 weeks later, we knew that it was a tumor. A very, very severe tumor, glioblastoma, which is the grade 4. It's the highest level of brain tumors.
And there are benign tumors as well, Leon?
There are benign tumors too. Meningiomas, for example, are benign tumors. But the thing is that talking about brain tumors in general, you have to know that glioblastomas account for over one half of all cancerous brain tumors. So it's the most common brain tumor.
Yeah. So, Bernard, you know, we're running out of time. Can we continue this discussion? I really want to get into the association and your work. And if you'll stay with us, we'll broadcast this on the week to follow. Is that agreeable to you?
Perfectly, yes. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week with part two with Bernard Leon. We're going to hear a lot more about his association, and we appreciate what he's been telling us today. It's a difficult thing to recall, I'm sure, but thank you for that. And I think just the discussion of symptoms and things will help people be more vigilant themselves in how their own health is going. So stay with us. I'll see you next week. And Bernard, we'll talk soon. Thanks so much.
See you next week.
La Vite de Clark with your host, Clark Ady. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
L'invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.